Jets out talking a little NFL with our NFL insider from ESPN, Field Yates. You heard about Golic and Wingo this morning as well. His appearance with us brought to you by Naples Wealth Planning. Check out betterplantoday.com and schedule yourself a free consultation. Field, how are you, sir?
Hey, Field.
Doing great, guys. How are we doing this Friday afternoon?
You still in L.A.?
Back from L.A. We had a great time out there taking the show on the road, but we are back on the East Coast where, believe it or not, it's warmer than it was in L.A.
Sometimes that can happen. L.A. is a tricky town. Yeah. I used to live there for like 10 years, and a lot of times it's very nice and comfortable. We're very excited because we've got 12 actual games to talk about, even though they're preseason games. Just learned in the last hour that Darius Geis' knee injury is serious. He's gone for the year. That's a big blow for him and the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, it sure is. And, the worst fear was realized, unfortunately. And, you know, Geis, during the game, seemed to indicate, or at least his sideline demeanor made you think that maybe everything was A-OK. And after the game, he seemed to be optimistic. But it's a reminder that, you know, what a player is feeling during the game can be decidedly different than what the end result actually turns out to be. So for the Redskins, who had such high hopes for him, they must go back to the drawing board a little bit as it pertains to running back and decide if they have an in-house option sufficient enough to be their starter.
I mean, when I'm watching all these games, Field, now in the last few years, it's just survive. Just survive. You don't want anybody to get hurt. I mean, the 49er game last night, that's a mass unit. They lost six guys. But just sticking with the Redskins real quick, I see on, you tweeted out from free agent running backs at the top of the list. You got Adrian Peterson, Jamal Charles, and you think the Redskins will move in that direction?
Don't know, and it's not a super inspiring list,
no.
Right? I mean, that's not guys that are cure-alls for your issue if you're the Washington Redskins. But, you know, my counterpoint is that, like, who else do you want them to consider right now in the free agent market? You know, Adrian Peterson's interesting to me. I don't think that he would sign with the team to just be a bit role player, like he was in New Orleans to begin last season. And he had some, okay moments last year, and he also had some memorable moments last year when he got traded to Arizona in a first and second down specific role. I get why there would or will be interest, or could, actually, there could be interest in someone like Adrian Peterson. So I'm not forecasting that he ends up in Washington per se, but when you look at available running backs, at least on resume alone, he's the most desirable one.
Speaking of running backs, Saquon Barkley last night. Look, I mean, the people of New York are difficult people to impress. People are losing their minds over the 139-yard run. Everybody's like, where's the gold jacket? I mean, let's tap the brakes a little bit. But it was exciting to see, and you think about the potential of him opening up that offense for Eli a little bit, and you can see why everybody's excited.
Here's the bottom line, is what we see on the outside and how we assess a player can be different than how a team internally accepts what that player did. The Giants are going to tell you it's just one carry. We don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill. But you got to understand a fan's perspective, all right? They went 2-14 last year. They were a complete disaster in the running game. They had no offensive firepower whatsoever. Saquon Barkley is a beacon of hope. It is an absolute, that's what it is, right? Like, it gives them the chance to think about the days of the past when they were a dominant team in the NFL. It's one run. The rest of his three runs amounted to just 4 yards. But if I'm a Giants fan, allow yourself to enjoy this for a little bit. Be excited about what Saquon Barkley has to offer.
Just sticking with the Browns real quick. I don't know if you got to see Hard Knocks yet, the first episode, and with the Browns and Hugh Jackson, the coaching staff, and Jarvis Landry and all that stuff. But if you did, what was your assessment? How'd you feel about the whole show?
Well, let me just start by saying I love Hard Knocks, because it's a glimpse behind the curtain that we don't get anywhere else. And it's really unlike anything else that we see. We have teams that produce their own content, and we have some smaller series, and we've seen other NFL teams kind of Hard Knock-like. But really, guys, like, this is the best chance we will get at any time to see what NFL training camp is like. I thought there were some neat scenes. I thought there were some funny scenes. I think everybody is kind of, for a lot of reasons, going back to the scenes with Hugh Jackson and his coaching staff, and you can decide whether or not it was inspiring or not, right? I mean, he sort of said, I'm the boss to two of his assistants, which, people feel like, hey, listen, you're running 31. Like, why should your word matter as much as you know, the word of your collective staff. But I enjoy it. I'm looking forward to the remaining four episodes of the season. And you know, every year, something that I look forward to.
We do know that the receivers room could be a little explosive with Jarvis Landry's speech. Are we going to add Dez Bryant to that room next week?
Well, he's at least going to get a workout if you believe his Twitter feed. You know, it's interesting to think that, you know, oftentimes we say we watch stuff, like we tweet through stuff, right? Like an amazing moment happens and we relay it through Twitter. Yesterday with Dez Bryant, we literally saw it play out through Twitter as he responded to Browns GM John Dorsey through Twitter and basically announced, hey, I'll see you next week in Cleveland at some point for a visit. You know, the Browns are in a unique spot to offer any player they want basically any amount of money they want because they have so much cap space. The question will be, is anybody worth their while? And let's say Dez Bryant does end up going to Cleveland and wants to stick around. How much leverage does he have? Because it's clear that not many other teams are interested in Dez Bryant's services, so I can't imagine if he does sign a deal with Cleveland or elsewhere, it's going to be for a ton of money.
If you're down here last night, Tampa Bay and Miami, and the Buccaneers pull out a 26-24 win. The curse of Matt Bryant continues as Ken Azzaro, who was perfect last year for the Jets, misses his first field goal down here. But other than that, really, I think all the quarterbacks, well, fails, obviously, and Tannehill, Winston, and Fitzpatrick, I thought all four of them looked pretty good.
Yeah, I think they look fine. You know, like I didn't have a major takeaway from that game in general. I thought that you know, you understand why the kicker thing is notable in Tampa Bay. Maybe the workouts today that have been reported are an opportunity to light a bit of a fire under Chandler Catanzaro's, you know, sort of just under his radar. I'll be a little bit surprised if Tampa Bay does make another major investment in the kicker because they've tried that in a couple of occasions. It has not gone as planned. But, you know, really interesting to see how this offense looks for the first 3 weeks of the season until Ryan Fitzpatrick, until Jameis Winston returns. I think you're going to get, somewhat steady play. But I thought for the most part, no major surprises on either side last night.
Field, are you on a merry-go-round? I'm hearing some fun music in the background.
There's some guy who's got some, like, one of those all-encompassing music instruments that plays, like, seven different tunes at once. So,
oh, as a street performer.
Myself one day.
Oh, okay. Very good.
On me.
All right. Pete gets sensitive when I mention Deflategate, given his affinity for the Patriots.
Tell the truth.
Do we have Deflategate 2.0 with the Steelers game last night against the Eagles?
I mean, I guess what you mean Deflategate 2.0 is in it lasted approximately 2.0 hours.
Yeah.
Is it over?
NFL
yeah.
Acted so expediently with this situation that, you know, either they found it to be nothing more than a misunderstanding or a mishandled football, or they just don't want to go into that potential rabbit hole again that we had with Deflategate the first time around. I was surprised it dissipated as fast as it did. But at the end of the day, I don't think anybody wants to live through something like 2 years of an absolute mayhem surrounding a couple of underinflated footballs.
Is the bigger question, though, you know, Howard, how did Howard Eskin get that close to a football on the sideline? I mean, with everything going on and security and all that, I don't know. How did he get a hold of the football?
Well, during preseason, there are 90 players in the sideline. Yeah. There's so many cameras because you got two local TV crews. You know, I'm not surprised. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, I guess. You know, we talk about preseason being for the players and the coaches. Maybe the preseason is for security guards as well.
Talking with Field Yates with Sheba and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Bears-Bengals, intriguing in that Andy Dalton, and they had their weak offense from last year. A couple of touchdown passes and four of those completions were for over 20 yards. I don't know if this is a new explosive Bengals offense or if the Bears defense is really bad.
I don't read too much into any of this stuff in week one for the record. As we talked about, it's all about the context. But, you know, for the Bengals, like, they're a talented roster. They've got some key weaknesses. The offensive line stunk last year, and they hope is much better this year. But if the Bengals compete for the second wild card spot for the AFC, no one should be surprised because they've got a lot of ingredients at the right spots. They've got good wide receiver and cornerback depth. They've got good pass rushers and defensive tackles. Andy Dalton has his moments that make you want to, you know, that make you want to throw your remote to the TV, but he also is a player that, at his best, has been a really effective quarterback in the NFL, so I wasn't particularly surprised by the largely positive showing from that Bengals offense last night.
Well, it wouldn't be a weekly segment with Phil Yates without talking about the national anthem, right? So here we are again, President Trump reacting, saying a football game is no place to protest, calling for players who protest to be suspended without pay. Down here last night, Kenny Stills, Albert Wilson knelt behind teammates. Robert Quinn stood, raised fist in the air like he did with the Rams last year. I don't know, Field. Anything going to come out of this? Some players stayed in the locker room, as according to what we think is the rule, but I don't know. Is this going to escalate again, yet again?
Yeah, I mean, as I've said the past few times, don't really have a whole lot to add here, Pete. I think that, yes, it's of course going to be an issue. It is monitored closely. It's not going away anytime soon. And you just hope that there's open and honest discourse about what makes sense for both sides.
Andrew Luck out west, played out at Seattle, played, just a hair more than a quarter, led to a couple field goals. But more importantly, took a couple of hits and bounced right back up. And now we'll just see how much better the Colts will be and what's around him talent-wise. But it's good to have Andrew Luck back in the game after, 600 days off.
Yeah, I thought the most important storyline going into the first week of the preseason was Andrew Luck being back on a football field. Obviously, the most important storyline in the early goings, or in the first slate of preseason games in week one, I guess week two technically, is Darius Geis' injury for the Washington Redskins. But seeing Andrew Luck back on there after on the field after 585 days away, orchestrating two drives, 6 for 9 for 64 passing yards, and two separate field goals from Adam Vinatieri, and getting out of there healthy, to me was clearly the most important takeaway from last night, other than Geis, of course.
I got to say, the highlights that I saw from Josh Allen Field, I was pretty impressed. My God, there is no doubt in my mind that he has definitely got the strongest arm of those five quarterbacks that were taken, without a doubt. And if he can harness that energy and get consistent here, my goodness, he threw some bullets last night. I was impressed.
Yeah, I think that it's important to note that arm strength is not, it's not the key that unlocks quarterback success in the NFL, but it can matter and it can attribute to positive overall play. And I don't know that there's a quarterback with a stronger arm already than Josh Allen in the NFL. He threw some frozen ropes last night. It's going to take a while there in Buffalo. There is such a poor receiving group around him that expecting immediate success from Josh Allen is chasing a ghost. But if he gets a chance to start at some point this season, it's going to inject a lot of buzz into Buffalo's offense. And other than him and LeSean McCoy, there really isn't anybody that you get excited about. I guess Kelvin Benjamin, but besides that, it's pretty slim picking.
All right. I know you're got, gazillion fantasy shows as well on ESPN and ESPN2. Just a quick fantasy question. Right now, have you done your mock drafts? I mean, where is Field Yates at now before everybody's draft comes up in the next couple of weeks? What would be one piece of advice you would give the big fantasy football player out there?
The most important thing that I tell people is that it's art, not science, when you go into a draft room. Everybody wants to know, hey, should I go running back, or wide receiver, running back with my first two picks? Depends. Play the board. It's like the NFL draft or like the NBA draft. Hey, you might think that you're going to take this player, but if so-and-so falls to you, it's like, all right, well, I might have to grab that guy instead. So it's definitely more art than science. Be nimble, be dynamic. Not to be a mensch here, but I suggest the 9 rules piece that I tweeted a link of the video to and also have on ESPN.com. For those who aren't as familiar with how drafting should be done, it should give you a little bit of a catch-all to introduce you to the nuances and the ins and outs of fantasy football drafting.
Excellent. Very good. Very good. Field, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Field.
All right, guys. Take care.
That is Field Yates. He's on the program from ESPN here every Friday. And his appearance is brought to you by Naples Wealth Planning. Go to betterplantoday.com. Schedule yourself a free consultation.